please remain standing? If you would turn in your Bibles, please remain standing, but turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Luke 2, beginning at verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival, according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Did you catch the detail in that story? Maybe you've missed it or you've heard this so many times, that aha moment that makes me feel actually a little bit better as a parent, because Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for 4 or 5 days. I mean, they lost it. They must have told this story over and over again. And maybe you have stories like that, stories that they're funny now when you tell them, but they weren't so funny back then. I've got a story. I lost Amy. I lost Amy, our daughter. She wasn't 12. She was 2 and a half. At least it wasn't 4 or 5 days, though. It was only like four or five minutes.
But the part he's not mentioning is we were living in a different country, on a different continent, and no one there spoke English.
And we didn't even realize that I didn't even realize I had lost her until she rang the doorbell. Amy, 2 and a half year old Amy, found that we had been downstairs, about 20 of us, a bunch of kids and some dads. We were downstairs in the courtyard of our apartment building. It was snowing. We were having a great time. We were gathering with some of our American colleagues team to enjoy a meal together. We rounded everyone up, and everyone went upstairs.
Everyone except one.
Everyone except one. But Amy made her way.
She knew where to go. And it still amazes me sometimes. We lived in Karaganda, Kazakhstan, and if you know anything about the former Soviet Union, it was nothing but tall, high-rise, cinder block apartments. Every one of them looked exactly the same.
And she knew
where to go. I know very much so that more had to do with the Holy Spirit leading her and giving us parents a lot of grace.
A lot of grace. And that's the word. That's the word we want to say at the very beginning of that. Throughout this whole August teaching series on relationships, whether it's marriage or singleness or now as parents, these kind of topics, they stir up the need for every one of us to be more and more aware of God's grace. Of God's grace to make up for the places where our understanding is limited. I heard a speaker once say that God gives children to parents. He had a choice. He could either give you children when you had wisdom or when you had energy. And he gave them to us when we have energy and we have to learn the wisdom along the way. So here we are. If you missed the earlier series, sermon series, they're on our website, so be sure to download those. But today it's parenting in the kingdom of God. Y'all, I'm Scott Tucker. You know who I am. I'm the pastor, lead pastor here at Good Shepherd Savannah. But before I was that, I'm a dad.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Patty Tucker, his wife for 32 years, and director of family discipleship. But before all that, I'm a mom. I'm the mom of Joseph, who is engaged to Courtney, living in Columbus, Georgia, to Ben, who just married Grace. They live here in Savannah, to Amy, who is engaged to Casey, who lives in Ohio, and to Matt, my favorite BC cadet.
So, y'all, that's a quick snapshot look at our family. But I think it's also good to look back at the scripture and look at the Holy Family, we call them, right? Mary and Joseph and Jesus, the Holy Family. Maybe when we call them the Holy Family, we want to put them on a pedestal. But I think this one story, and y'all, it's important to know, this is really the only story we have in the Bible, the only account we have in the Bible of that family unit, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And it's a picture of the need for God's grace. It shows us that we have a lot more in common with Mary and Joseph than maybe we thought, and that we're all in this business together of parenting in the kingdom, and we have a great need for God's grace. So I want to say this. The first thing I think this story teaches us, the first thing this account teaches us, number one, parents, grandparents, or if you're an adult that's been blessed to be a part of a church like ours that has an abundance of children, this applies, y'all. This applies to everybody. Number one, look to God first. Look to God first when it comes to the way you can shape and model faith and grace for your children or your grandchildren or the children around you who are observing and watching what you do. Look to God first.
Let's look again at verses 41 and 42 in Luke's gospel. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. Do you see that? Every year, according to the custom. Mary and Joseph were serious about their relationship with God, and they made family decisions that supported that. They established regular patterns for themselves and for their family. And I'll speak as a wife and a mom, that establishing a regular pattern in my personal prayer time is foundational to everything else that happens. It's critical that I spend time with Jesus every single day. I might skip a day, but never more than one. Always two, never more than one. Don't miss 2 days. When our kids were little, sometimes that was hard because I'd get up early in the morning and so would my children. So I discovered that nap time was the time when I had that time, that quiet moment. And yes, there were toys to pick up and laundry to be folded and dinner to get ready. But I learned that I could do all of that a whole lot better if I carved out time every single day alone with Jesus. As my kids got older, I set the alarm clock earlier, and I would get up every single morning. And I can say that every place we've ever lived, and we've lived a lot of places.
We've lived a
lot. I think
I
counted this morning. In 32 years, we lived in 14 different homes.
That's not a goal. That's not a goal.
That's not a goal, no.
That's just life.
That's just life. But consistency of time and place are important. In every home that the Lord has given us, I've always made it a priority to make sure that I establish my place. And right now, if you go in our home, there's a little chair in the living room with an ottoman in the corner with a bookshelf and a lamp and my Bible and my journal. And that's my Jesus chair. That's my place where I will meet with the Lord every morning.
And that's not just a lesson for moms. That's a lesson for dads. It may look different for you. It may be setting the alarm clock even earlier, right? So you have your time and space or building that into your commute or whatever that looks like. But it's also important, not just for individual parents, but it's also important for the whole family. And we've done this poorly a lot of times, and we've done it well. And we've done it well. That's right. Matt can be the testament to all of this. We've done it poorly at times, and we've done it well at times. Y'all, when the kids were smaller, it was easy. Like get a copy of a color sheet that had a Bible story, read the corresponding story out of a good quality children's Bible. And after doing that, when they were really little, you establish a pattern. You can establish a pattern. And really, you'll be surprised how quickly a child can sit and color and listen to you read a whole chapter from Scripture if you build that pattern just little by little from the time that they are smaller. As they get older, and his schedules, y'all, you know, we've lived it. Y'all, as schedules start to stretch and it's harder, kids leave for school at different times or going to different places, it's harder. And that's the time when you may not get those kind of moments in the home, but it's important to organize and emphasize your worship together. your worship together at church. Y'all hear it at Good Shepherd. That's one reason we bring kids back into church. You know, children's church just for a few years. Some places want to banish kids to the, you know, to somewhere else until they're eighth grade or high school or beyond. And y'all, that's not the way the family works. That's not the way your family works. If you want your kids to grow in faith, you want them to see you. You want them to be alongside you. Yeah, their attention spans are not, hey, your attention span may not really be what it's supposed to be. But y'all, we work and we grow together. We don't just drop our kids off and hope somebody else will raise them in the Christian faith. We want to be an active part of that. And I'll give you like the pastor caveat here. We always emphasize this with our kids. We're not bringing you to church because it's where dad works. We're not bringing you to church because we're the pastor or whatever. We're doing the things that we do because we are followers of Jesus who are parents. So these are the things that we're doing as parents wanting to raise kids, not just the things for pastors. And we face the same challenges that you faced. Sports schedules. Y'all, we did travel soccer one time. I remember getting Matt up early on a Sunday morning, and he's in his full soccer kit, cleats in the bag, and we came to 8:30 church, like the earliest church service possible, so we could get him across town for an 11 o'clock match. Balancing things that are hard to balance, but making those key decisions that show that we're looking to God first, for ourselves as individuals, and looking to God first for our family. But we know this. You can look to God first all you want. You can think, we have this mindset that we cover our bases. But even when we look for God first, number two, life happens. Life happens. Again, look back to the story of Mary and Joseph. I mean, if you asked them at the point right before the story starts, that was the picture-perfect vacation festival Passover trip to Jerusalem. Mary had already uploaded all of her photos to Instagram with the sweet Bible verse and the right filter. It was a picture-perfect family trip until it wasn't. Until it wasn't.
And that's the same for us. Things are not perfect. Never are they perfect, because we're not perfect. Mistakes happen, mishaps happen, and misfortunes come our way. Sometimes it's because of things that decisions parents make. Sometimes it's consequences of decisions that our kids have made. And sometimes we're sorting out unhealthy patterns that maybe we had as in our families growing up as kids. And sometimes life just plain goes out of control. That's when it's time to just breathe deep and make room for God's grace. Not to make excuses, but allow for God's grace. And God's grace is at work, even sometimes when we don't recognize it. But His grace is at work always, even in the middle of the hard things. In the fall of 2000, our son Ben, our second born, was two. And I had a speech therapist tell us that he would probably never speak words until he was eight, and we needed to just begin to accept the fact that he would never be able to have a normal conversation. Some of you have been there. You've heard hard words like that with your kids, or somewhere like that. When life happens, sometimes it's easy to withdraw and allow ourselves to be overcome with doubt and grief. I spent several weeks in a deep state of depression, not knowing what to do next. But the Lord sought to bring me out of that. And let's take a cue from Mary and Joseph. I began to learn that I needed to lean into my community.
In the middle of this, what felt like a catastrophe for Mary and Joseph, when Jesus was missing for 4 days, the first thing Mary and Joseph do, verse 44, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. For Mary and Joseph, they weren't alone on this journey to Jerusalem for Passover. There were people around them. There were people in their lives who loved them. People who were doing life in the same direction as them. People who shared their same values. Mary and Joseph weren't looking for friends so they could make better connections or keep up appearances and climb the social ladder. They were looking for other people who were looking to God first. They were looking for other people who looked to God first.
Now, with our Ben, we did discover one speech therapist who said that she could help him. Problem was, she was in Detroit, Michigan, and we were in Southwest Georgia. But it was our community, our friends, our relatives, the people around us who loved Jesus and sought to seek Jesus that made a way for us for that to happen. They had barbecue fundraisers. We even had friends in Detroit who opened their home to us for a month, and we lived with them for a month. And we leaned into our community.
When life happens, mm-hmm. you lean into your community. When life happens, you also have to find the strength to do what's next. Again, that's what Mary and Joseph did. When they looked with their friends and family and they couldn't find him, they didn't stop. They didn't just become passive. They didn't get paralyzed with all the emotion that must have been raging. They simply did the next right thing. They retraced their steps to Jerusalem. They weren't passive. They knew life was happening. They knew, y'all, we get that this is kind of a theological point. We know Mary and Joseph were the parents that God gave to Jesus, right? You can agree with me on that. But agree with me on this. You are the parents. You are the parents that God gave to your children. You are the parents that God gave to your children. He factored everything into that. He factored in your gifts and your weaknesses. He factored in your faith and your fear. He factored all of that in when he chose you for your children.
And children, he factored all that in when he chose your parents as your parents.
There are a lot of times when you're not going to know what the next thing is. But it's an opportunity. It's always an opportunity to grow. When life happens, there's always an opportunity to grow. And one of the things that grows is confidence. For you to find your heart as a father, for you to find your heart as a mother, for you to find your heart as a grandparent or as another model or friend, to find your heart and to find your confidence to lean in to the Lord and know that he's given you the strength. He's given you the strength to do the next thing. I still have this vivid memory of the week Joseph was born. Joseph is our oldest. He was born in Lexington, Kentucky, middle of an ice storm, and carefully put him in the car seat and drove home on dangerous roads. And we got in, and he's in the carrier, and we put him on the coffee table and unwrapped the blanket. And we sat down and said, what do we do next? You know, even at that moment, when it wasn't anything bad that happened, it was just like, okay, have they checked our ID? Do they know we're responsible for like a human being? But it was just the next thing, right? Do the next thing. It was a chance for us to grow.
So if your kids are still small, you're still growing, start really growing now because, and many of you in the room can attest to this more than I can, the older your kids get, the bigger the mistakes that they make and the bigger the problems that can come. So prepare yourself now for those days ahead and just keep growing. Don't be passive about it. Don't paralyze yourselves, but just keep growing. Mm-hmm. Our Ben's story has a happy ending. And Dr. Kaufman was able to loosen his tongue. And God worked a miracle that summer.
And he hasn't stopped talking.
And if you know Ben, you know he hasn't stopped talking since. But not every story has a happy ending. And some stories don't have an ending. And just keep going. Just keep going. And know that the Lord's got you. Even when we have some of those unfinished stories ourselves, yeah. And God's promises are true, and we look to him first, we surrender our kids to him every single day. In Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, the prophet Jeremiah wrote, for his compassions never fail, and his mercies are new every morning.
As we've said, when life happens, it's an opportunity for us to grow. One of the ways that there's an opportunity for us to grow that we see modeled in the scripture is there's a chance to listen to and learn from each other within your family. That's a lesson for parents listen to your kids and learn from them. And that's also children, even adult children. Listen to and learn from your parents.
Do you remember the time in Frankfurt Airport?
Frankfurt Airport. Oh, I, whenever we traveled, I was the passport guy. Like, I had to collect all the passports. And we had gone through...
We had gone through immigration.
That's
and
right.
Scott had... He told the kids, I need passports back. But four-year-old Amy refused to hand over her passport. She said, we need it one more time. There's another checkpoint. And Scott said,
And I could have, yeah, I mean, I could have leaned in hard and said, I'm the parent, right? I'm the dad. I know, right? Give me the passport. You know, lean on the authority in the role of the office. But
he listened to Amy, and guess what? Four-year-old Amy was right. We needed to go through another checkpoint, and we each had to have our passports to go through that checkpoint.
And we listened.
We listened.
And we learned, and it turned out that she was right. Mm-hmm. She was right.
So sometimes your kids have things that you need to hear. So listen to your kids. And kids, sometimes your parents know things and have things that you need to hear. So listen to your parents. Create an environment where you listen to each other. The role of a parent isn't to hover. It's not to hold helicopter, and it's not to hold back our kids from growing.
It's right there. Mm-hmm. It's right there in the Bible story. You notice this about that story, 12-year-old Jesus in Jerusalem. He is schooling the biblical scholars with his speech, his little miniature sermon. The people, the strangers who meet Jesus in Jerusalem, the Bible says it, they were amazed. They're amazed. They're all ears. They're smiling. They cannot believe what this kid can do. But when the parents show up, Mary and Joseph are astonished. I think that's a negative word. Everybody that doesn't know him is amazed, but the parents are like, what? This kid? We have to remind him to take the trash out. What? He is not anything special. They're so used to seeing him that they don't recognize the amazement that really is there going on. And they've lost maybe just for a moment that chance to listen and learn. But see this, Mary speaks directly. Mary speaks directly to Jesus. Hey, what are you doing? We were anxious. We couldn't believe you. Why did you do this? Mary speaks very forcefully and very directly to Jesus. But Jesus also answers directly and with, I think for a 12-year-old, with a little bit of force there as well. But the thing I want you to see is that Mary and Joseph listened to Jesus and learned from him. And Jesus also listened to Mary and Joseph and learned from them. Because at the end of the day, what does the Bible says? They went home together and Jesus obeyed them. Y'all hear this? Parents speaking with a voice of encouragement and confidence. Children, you know that your parents often don't get you. They often don't understand you like you wish they understood you. But here's what happened. Jesus went home and obeyed the parents that didn't get it. Because they had at least listened, and they continued to seek God.
So Jesus obeyed, but what did Mary do? Mary prayed. And that's our role as parents, to pray and pray and pray some more. And they listened and they learned from each other. But finally, they let go. Verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
And here we are at the end of August when kids have gone back to school or are going back to school, and some of you have made the journey to send them to college or beyond. Y'all, 55 years ago this summer was the Apollo 11 space launch. That was the mission that took people to the moon for the first time. And even if you haven't listened or watched the video of that launch from 1969, you've listened to other NASA launches before, and you know the T-minus 30 seconds, 25, 20. Something happened at T-minus 15 seconds on the Apollo 11 mission. T-minus 15 seconds. Houston, Mission Control says this, guidance is internal. At that point in the liftoff, up to that point, Houston Mission Control was in charge of everything for the launching of that rocket. Everything was in someone else's hand. But at T-minus 15, guidance is internal. With the flip of a switch, the success of the mission was in the hands of the astronauts in the capsule. It would be their decision to launch. Friends, that is a little bit like what we do with our kids. When we let go, we don't have a single moment where we flip a switch and just let go. That might be easier. That might be easier. But it's a little by little. It's little by little. That's why they've been entrusted to us. That's why human children, you know, you look at the natural world and you see a great division between the rest of the created order, the other animals, you know, creatures, and humans. Humans here, we stay together so much longer because there's so much more to convey. But ultimately, it's about letting go. It's about learning, letting that child learn that guidance is internal. We're preparing our children to take ownership of their mission, of their own lives. And it looks different at different ages.
Yeah. So a three-year-old letting go is being patient while they're trying to put their shoes on themselves or pack their bag themselves. Mm. At 10, it's noticing the homework sitting on the kitchen table after they've already left for school and not getting in the car and taking it to school.
At 13, it's teaching your kids to do their own laundry. And when they haven't kept up with it, let them get a pair of shorts out of the hamper, spray it with Febreze and fluff it a little bit. And it's their lesson. If it bothers them, then they'll learn to do the laundry. Or at 18, y'all, this is still a hard one. Or at 18 and beyond, it might mean waiting an extra day before you call or send a text that says, "Are you still alive?" Just learning to let go.
Yeah.
Just learning to let go.
Our ability to let go as parents is really a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit. When we're trusting in God's role in our lives as our Father, and He releases Jesus to dwell inside of us and empowers us with His Holy Spirit, we are then filled with His Holy Spirit, and our guidance can be internal because we know who's guiding us. That's the goal each one of us has for our children. But even bigger than that, that's the goal that our Heavenly Father has for each one of us. Each one of us who are His children.
Hmm. A couple of questions and real invitations here as we wrap up this morning. Number one, are you clear? Are you clear in your personal decision to look to God first, to trust Jesus as your Savior, and to walk with Him, to follow Him day in and day out? I've got to tell you this as a parent. It won't be important to your kids unless it's important to you. There are a lot of things that we can outsource in life. You can hire sports trainers. You can hire tutors to help with reading and writing and math. And some of us, you know, it's much better to hire somebody to do that thing than this. But you can't outsource. We can't outsource our responsibility to teach our kids to trust in Jesus. One of the things that are very at our very core as a church at Good Shepherd Savannah is not only equipping you to follow Jesus more effectively, but we want to partner with you who are parents. We want to partner with you to help your kids. But hear that, we want to partner with you. We don't believe it's our job alone to do it. We want to partner with you so that together we can learn to love and follow Jesus more effectively. Are you clear? Are you clear on your commitment to follow Jesus? Number two, as we started at the very beginning, just a conversation like this stirs up a lot of anxiety, maybe for some. We're aware of our failures and our shortcomings. Maybe this message, more than anything else, simply reminds us, like Mary and Joseph, of our need for God's grace, of our need for God's work in our lives to let guidance be internal, for His Spirit to fill us completely, so that we know Jesus is holding everything that life has thrown our way. When life has happened, We don't want to sit back any longer and be paralyzed or be passive. We want to actively pursue God and face the challenge, not on our own, but with friends, with community around us, and with the Lord's filling, the filling of His Holy Spirit. As the band comes back up, we're going to sing together this song. For some of you, maybe it's a classic song that you know. It's a song called, I Need Thee Every Hour. I love that song because that maybe even that line captures what it means to be a mom, to be a dad, to be a grandparent right here in the 21st century in a world that parents is so unlike the world in which we grew up. So maybe it's the time for us to make that confession, to say, I need thee every hour. While the band's singing, Patty and I are going to be down here. Maybe you sense God calling, and maybe it's the time for you to answer the question, will I follow Jesus? Maybe it's the time for you to come and say, let's pray for a fresh filling of God's Spirit. I need you. I need you on this journey as a parent. I need you on this journey, maybe as a child, dealing with my parents. I need you as a help, as a grandparent right now. And maybe, don't worry about what somebody else thinks, about why you're going down there. They probably need, if they're worried about you, they probably need to go, okay? Let me just say that. Because every one of us, this is a prayer for every one of us. I need thee. Mm-hmm. I need thee every hour. Will you pray for us? Yeah.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Lord, we need you. We know that we were created by you. We know you sent your Son Jesus for us, for our forgiveness, and to love us. And you sent your Holy Spirit to empower us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would reign in this space and that you would speak to our hearts so that we can grow one step closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.